Hey everyone, and welcome to the Rise Above 2K podcast. I'm Gax, I'll be the host as we dive into all things NBA 2K. We're joined again today by the Unicorn Big to talk more about his journey through 2K26. But first, how are you doing today, man?
I'm great. We just snagged some preseason tickets to the Spurs and sitting 18 rows up, so feeling good about that.
What jersey are you planning on wearing?
So it's probably be wearing my Dennis Rodman Spurs jersey that I'm wearing right now. I hope to wash it before then. That's a goal of mine. So we'll see if I get any more creative before then.
So in serious NBA news, 41 days until the Pistons tip off. I'm excited. How are you feeling about the team in Detroit?
You know, I guess my thing is like they're holding a roster spot open. And it's just like, when is Malik Beasley going to not be under a gambling investigation by somebody? And I really want him on the team. As long as he's not throwing games, the dude can shoot. So I guess I'm excited, but I'm really waiting for the Malik Beasley drama to fade away into the past.
So my take on it is, if this was going to be something that was going to be a hindrance to his playing, more than like being suspended 10 games or something like that, it would have come down. And I think what it actually does for the Pistons, which is a good thing, is instead of signing him to an insane free agent contract, as these days go on, the AAV just goes down and down and down and down. And we'll take that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's important to have the shooter on the team. But for me, I am a massive Jaden Ivey fan, and I am so excited for him to be a year older, a year healthier, and in there helping Cade out. I just, sky's the limit, but I'm such a homer, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You can pull my takes from this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think second round for them is a possibility. I'm also very excited about the Spurs and what they're going to do. We'll see how they rotate in their three guards. Excited to see them play against the Guzong Lions.
That'll be quite the experience. You got a few seconds on your second favorite team. I'll take a few on mine. The Heat are going to be terrible this year. There's no reason to talk any further about it.
I mean, yeah, you're right.
No, they're awful. They're just going to be Terry Rozier situation. It's just terrible, man. Let's get into 2K, man. You've had another week of running through 2K26. You've seen a lot of stuff. What are your second impressions, we'll call them, on 26 after the last week of play?
Look, I mean, I was saying it all last week. I think height is huge. You see 6'8 shooting guards all over the place. And I'm continuing to struggle to defend the 7 foot, the 7'4s. We'll see how that continues. Maybe I dabble in that again, but you know, just really enjoying the game. Had a lot of fun, you know, hanging out with new teammates constantly, and you know, ready to keep leveling up.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about these struggles, specifically through the lens of being a big. Have you been finding that, like, interior defense is a little inconsistent, or is it something that is just requiring a little more mental focus to have off the cuff?
So I'm a little smaller this year, so I think that that plays into it. But honestly, I don't think interior defense is, like, really that much, like, that big of a difference from last year. Especially now, I feel like I'm a lot better at keeping my arms up and not jumping, and really, like, sticking to my man in the 2-3. Well, I guess I wouldn't be sticking to my man, but playing the pain, playing the pain in the 2-3.
Yeah.
But you know, there's growth. I think most of it with me is just continuing to practice and getting in there with whatever squad I'm on and continuing to improve. But like I will say again, whether it's inside or on the perimeter, the 7-4s are difficult to defend. But other than that, I'm feeling pretty confident about that aspect.
Yeah, and well, I think that might be the case in real life as well. Yeah. we're gonna get into into shooting a little bit deeper, but what when you talk about sort of the approach to practice, we talked about it in 25 that you would just spend lots of time in the gym just taking shots after shot after shot. What does some of your practice look like now? Like, what are the things you're trying to hone in on so you can take it into the game with you?
So again, I've been working on my shot. I work on it at least 10 or 15 minutes every day. You know, I need to spend more time on it. That's my biggest thing is, you know, trying to be a popper that just nails when he's open. That and working on my fadeaway and getting that consistent. Because there'll be games where just I'll be making, you know, 75% of my fades, and there'll be games where I just can't get the timing down. And I think some of that has to do with who I'm going up against.
Okay.
But I would say those are the two biggest things I'm practicing in the gym is both my three and my fadeaway.
So when you're talking about these quick shots and things like that, is it something that you're seeing out of players who are on the same level as you, that they're getting off frequently and with great accuracy? Is there some jealousy to the play of your opponents?
So yes, in the fact that I can tell that the shootings come a lot easier to other bigs. Again, if you're up against a 7-4 and you don't jump at them when they shoot, they'll just shoot over you, even if you're 7-1 like me. And you'll just go against the ice and they just make literally everything that's open like 99% of the time. So there is some jealousy there. So that's just more practice. I will say on the fadeaway, you don't see many players pull that off. Some don't have to. Some have other moves. I played against somebody called Post Hook Superior or something like that. Mm-hmm. And literally he just went into the post every time and hooked it over me every single time.
Wow.
So just figuring out, you know, how to defend that stuff. But a lot of bigs, they don't really practice the post. But I really love that fadeaway. It's kind of like my go-to shot. So, you know, a little envy. It just seems like shooting's coming so easy to some people.
Sure.
And for me, I'll go in the gym and make, you know, 70-80%, and then I'll go into the game sometimes and I'll shoot 75% from three, and then sometimes it's just red. And it's frustrating for sure, but you know, you got the whole game cycle to get better at it. So
all right, so tell me a couple of things that are going well, some things that are in this cycle that you're really starting to capitalize on and are really helping to advance your game.
Sure. So I think trying to own the paint when I'm in the 2-3 zone is going well. There's a lot of room to improve, but I'm really enjoying the challenge of shutting down the other center or the other player that's coming in, because sometimes they'll just be cutters that come in and you have to start spotting them and shutting them down. So I really enjoyed that. Obviously, I've been enjoying playing with, you know, different players on the Discord. A few come to mind that are just a real joy to play with. And then I would say one thing that is like starting to click is like offensive sets. You know, I'm not playing straight pick and roll or a straight five out. I'm trying to switch it up, especially in rec when like people aren't necessarily calling plays all the time. So sometimes if there's a mismatch or they're not going to guard me because they don't think I can shoot, I'm going to go play five out, hang out in my corner, and I can make those like 60% of the time. If there's a mismatch or they're playing the zone, I'm going to hang out at that free point line or the free throw line and just post up and do the fades. And then there's always a pick and roll. I'm strong this year. My strength is way higher than it was last year. I'm a silver brick wall, would like to get better than that. But just enjoying like all of the different opportunities that come from different offensive sets.
Yeah. Yeah. So what style of play, like what kinds of games with people on the Discord or like when you're just queuing up solo, what version of the game have you been getting the most growth out of as opposed to just straight grind?
Definitely probably getting the most growth out of theater, which I didn't play barely at all last year, but there tends to be a lot of like rep up opportunities there. And a lot of people are down to play like games to 11, which take like 2 minutes. Okay. So that's probably, you know, where I've been trying to level up the most. Mm-hmm. So that's probably, I don't know, probably just in theater the most.
Well, when you're in theater, does it change your mentality to how you're playing? Do you feel like there's just less weight to get things done and you're able to just play, or is it just the style and the length of the games that make it easier to grow?
So I would say theater is like a step below park. Park is like probably some of the hardest 3-on-3 aside from pro-am threes. Mm-hmm. So there, if I'm with good shooters, I can really just focus in on like setting screens and, you know, getting open from time to time and focusing on rebounds because I'm really good at rebounding. I have a 99 overall defensive. So, you know, sometimes my job is just to set screens and get rebounds and I'm okay with that. But it also gives me some opportunity to, you know, find some openings and make some shots. And because although I was saying it earlier, I do make shots from time to time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to. Like, it's part of the game.
You got to.
The whole point of the game is to get the basketball through the hoop as far 100%, as I understand.
100%.
So, okay. Well, that's great. So with threes, what has kind of been the percentage of mix of you jumping into the Rise Above 2K Discord, getting some people to spar with and practice with, and you just sort of queuing solo and seeing what comes out of it?
So I've mostly been playing with people on Discord. I have been doing a little my career just to focus in on some things like shooting threes and fadeaways and box outs and screens and all of that stuff. But tends to be in my career, it's only like man-to-man defense. Mm-hmm. And that tends to be true for threes too, but for rec, typically we'll run a zone. So mostly playing with people from Discord, I would say, and mostly because it's more fun. And yeah, you don't, if you're not playing online, you don't get rep and you don't help your crew out or anything. So mostly playing online with Discord folks.
Yeah. And are you finding some benefit out of being able to, well, not just have the real-time communication, but bounce some ideas post-game or anything like that that's been beneficial to you as well?
Yeah. I mean, I love playing on the server. I think one of the big things is I created it to be non-toxic. And so, you know, people are there to build each other up and not tear each other down. So there's some tips here and there that I'm definitely taking into account that help my game.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's huge. I've always found that having consistent people to play with that are supportive has always really helped, because not only do you play in a little bit of a more consequence-free environment, but you know that you're going to get some feedback out of it. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. I've been playing a lot with my boy Meph, and the dude is a 6'11 power forward, and he made up the power forward build because we were playing a lot, and he's typically a center, and he knew he wouldn't be playing center much with me around. Mm-hmm. And the dude can just drain from everywhere. I set up his jump shot. Uh-huh. But you know, he definitely is like, you know, helps me a little bit with tips here and there, and he's just really fun to play with. But man, I'm jealous of his shooting ability. Like, I want that. I want that.
It'll come, man. Just takes practice, right?
Yep.
So we have some community news to get to. That's very big. And we have some programming notes around your Twitch and your live stream that we need to get to as well. But before we do that, I have a pretty big question for you that I honestly don't know how you're going to answer. But given how you've talked about the sizes and builds of those around you and sort of the struggles that they've caused for you early in this cycle, have there been serious thoughts about changing your build or your play style to better adapt to the new meta?
Yes. I don't know if I really want to change my play style that much, because at the end of the day, like, you know, I rep Rodman, and even though I'm a big, I love to just get rebounds and hang out in that paint and shut it down. Mm-hmm. I really love going up against the other team's center if he's really good, and just making sure he doesn't score points, even if that means I don't get as many rebounds as I typically do. Mm-hmm. But I just don't feel like I'm way stronger than I was last year. I have way higher offensive rebounds. My box out ability just is way more natural now. But I just don't feel the dominance that I felt offensively since last year. So last year, you know, I could dunk over people. I was pretty good on the inside. Then at the end of last year, I really started working on my shot and all that stuff. This year, I wanted to focus more on my shot, and that's taken away from, you know, driving dunk, standing dunk, layups, all of that stuff. And I just feel like I'm a little weak when it comes to the inside. So I've had conversations with multiple people on the server. Once I hit 95, which will probably be tomorrow, I intend to make the final 5-on-5 build that I use for the rest of the year. Thanks to Za, I'm probably going to have to make some sort of 6'8", 6'9", swing type player that's better suited for threes, because when you're 7'1", you think that, oh, I'm going against up a 6'8", and 3-on-3, I'll mash him. And the fact is you can't keep up with them from a speed perspective. So they actually dice you up, and you're just left there with broken ankles.
Yeah, that's what no one wants. Okay.
No one wants it. It's just something no one wants.
No, that's exciting, though, that there could be some potential changes coming that could round out the build in a different way. I want to get into just a real quick shameless plug here. You've developed a streaming schedule for Twitch. Is this correct?
This is correct. So, it's going to be Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays.
Okay.
We'll leave Saturday and Sunday for just some, you know, free range stuff, depending on what I want to do. So, Monday's really just going to be about, you know, running threes and fives with the guys, or girls. They're on the server too. And just having fun starting the week, you know, with a 2 or 3 hour stream, just focusing on trying to stacking some dubs. And then Wednesday is going to be leveling up.
Okay.
So Wednesday is going to be me really focusing in on getting better at the game. Because another reason I started the server was like, you know, everyone, whether they're a beginner or whether they're elite at the game, they all have room to improve. And I really want to use Wednesdays as, you know, still jamming out with the players on Discord, but focusing in on leveling up my game and playing modes to where I can do that, and I'm not just sweating constantly. And then Friday is going to be putting it all together. So Friday is going to kind of be the end cap of my week going into the weekend, where I'm really, you know, playing kind of all out, making sure that I'm doing whatever I can to be competitive, upping my team grade, upping my rep, and, you know, staying up a little bit later and, you know, pushing for the grind, man.
That's exciting. I love that. Now I know when to tune into, which is great. Speaking of the, well, shameless plugs more, the Discord community, there's a big announcement coming up this week, involving the Discord community. How about you, you give a little taste to the audience here of what we can expect?
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this. Tomorrow, which will be Friday, September 12th, we are going to announce the Rise Above 2K 5-on-5 Classic. This is going to be I talked about it last week. This is going to be an 8 to 10 team, $25 buy-in tourney. The captains will be in charge of the buy-in. All the players on their team must be verified members of the server by tip-off. We're going to open this up just inside the server for the weekend. Then starting Sunday, Monday, we'll, depending on how many signups we have, we'll open it up to some bigger communities. It will be held next Saturday and Sunday, the 20th, the 21st. Hopefully we can get through quarterfinals by then. The following Saturday and Sunday, we'll be hosting the semis and the championship game. Mm-hmm. So excited about this, starting to build my team. Hopefully, you know, we can crown a champ. And they can take home that big $250 prize.
Yeah, I've noticed that my invite to the team hasn't shown up in the inbox yet, but I'll just keep refreshing, and then when it's there, I'll be ready for it.
I mean, 2K28 will come out at some point, so
yes, I'll be ready by the next Olympics for sure.
Yeah.
All right, one more thing that's not game-related. It's going to fall in that stat of the day territory. We've been chopping this up all week, but we want to bring it to the people because it's such exciting topics that have never been covered by millions and millions of sports talk shows. We're talking about the most dominant big in NBA history.
Sure.
And I have a lot of qualifiers, and everyone's going to hate my pick, so I'm going to let you go first. And let us know, make your case here. What do you got?
Okay. So, you know, it's hard to compare, today's bigs to the bigs of yesteryear because Kareem didn't shoot threes, right? So I have a few thoughts. First is if you're talking about playing, winning and championships, it's Bill Russell.
Okay.
Wasn't the biggest, but the only person that could shut down Wilt Chamberlain. And he did it time after time after time again. And he also won championships when he was the player coach, which how many other players in general have ever done that? So there's Bill Russell. Also, too, just like what he means to the game, right?
Okay.
So there's Bill Russell.
So is this you're just going to name all the bigs? Or are you going to tell us?
I'm coming to a conclusion.
Okay, just keep naming bigs then. Go for it.
Okay. You know, you have to look at the you know, Kareem era going to the Shaq era. And it is hard to say that Shaq is not the most dominant inside big of all time. So there's that. Our car's been in the shop, so I've been talking to Uber drivers about this. I've been talking to people I work with about this. And a lot of them say, if you say the most dominant big of all time, it's probably Shaq. But now, you know, you've got Jokic, and you've got Wimby, and you've got Karl Anthony Towns. And all these guys are draining threes. And if you look at Jokic, he's putting up 10 assist games left and right.
Mm-hmm.
No big has ever really done what he's done. And in 10 years, you can probably look at Wimby and say nobody has done what he's done.
Well, no one's ever been as big as him either. That's also...
There's been some. Greg Oyster tag comes to mind.
Yeah, and he's top of your list. You've already named like 10 of the most dominant bigs of all time and didn't get there.
So here's what I'm going to say. If you had to say... Era, you know, specific, right? Okay. So, like, given the era,
sure.
Who's the most dominant of all time? I'm going to go with my boy Shaq.
Okay.
What's your take, Gax?
So first of all, I'm one of those weird people who doesn't believe in pre-merger stats. So that just wipes the board with a bunch of stuff. That wasn't NBA basketball. just strictly speaking, that wasn't NBA basketball. It's Jokic. And I know that there's a lot of time still to come, but if he retired tomorrow, he would still be the only person ever to record a 30-20-20. He'd still have 10 triple-doubles in 7 separate seasons. He'd have 10 triple-doubles in a single postseason, and he'll have a record for the fastest triple-double in 14 minutes. The thing about being a dominant big and where he fits the bill is he's been in the league long enough that there's enough tape for people to figure out how to stop him, and he cannot be stopped. He is just a menace. There's no way to shut him down. No one's shown the ability to do it. The only way you can shut him down is his arms bleed like all the time for some reason, and he has to sit from time to time, but the guy can't be stopped. So that's it.
Okay, so here's my pushback. How many backboards has he shattered, and how many hoops has he taken down?
How many Kobe raps has he made?
Is that, yes.
Is that part of, okay. Well, when he gets to all of that, when he does Kazam 2, then we'll know. when he makes that movie good, we'll know for sure.
I mean, in Shaq's defense
of Shazam,
Shaq did make a 3-pointer in his career. Okay, so let's not forget that. I think it was his second season with the Magic. And, you know, the other thing is, too, is Shaq's sitting on 4.
Yep.
Jokic is sitting on 1.
4% at the free throw line.
It's that high?
Hack a Shaq was a thing for a while there. I agree. And honestly, everyone you named, I think, has merits in the conversation. I don't like pre-merger stats, but Shaq was a menace. And he's still a menace. People are afraid of him, and he's just a guy on the talk show. So
do we remember the All-Star game this year?
This year?
Where it was Shaq, Chuck Barkley, yeah. Eddie Johnson, and yep. Kevin Hart.
Yes.
And it's like a monster versus a little baby.
Yes.
And it's like that dude's literally as tall as Muggsy Bogues.
Well, maybe. I love that Kevin Hart leans into it, doesn't get too he just kind of leans into it, which is nice.
Yeah.
That's enough about dominant big. If you need to know more, just watch like anything Colin Cowherd's ever produced, and there'll be plenty of information there. Anyway, that's everything for today on Rise Above 2K. Huge thank you, Unicorn Big, for giving us more of your time. I have a feeling we're going to do it again next week, so stay tuned. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you got it. See you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And as always, if you enjoyed this show and you want to stay ahead of the game, be sure to smash the like button and subscribe to the channel. If you want more exclusive content, behind the scenes access, chance to connect with the fellow ballers who are serious about the grind, make sure to join our community on Discord. The links to all our socials and Discord are going to be in the show.